interview of interviews on the Eddie Band, and I am going to interview Mr. George Anderson, who is the director of the Eddie Band. Mr. Anderson, show me where and when you were born.
In Fullerton, Nebraska, August 5th, 1917.
Could you give me a little bit of your background in music, like before the Eddie Band, and things you have done in your training and whatnot?
Okay, my public school education was Lincoln, Nebraska. I graduated there in Lincoln High School in 1935, and then went on to the University of Nebraska, and completed a bachelor's degree and master's degrees in 46 and 50, and then spent several summers attending schools, Chicago Conservatory, and the Western State College in Gunnison, and summer schools at the University of Michigan, and then periodically in the past 25 years have been attending various workshops and conventions and etc.
When did you join the Eddie Band?
I became the director of the Eddie Band in 1968. Excuse me.
Okay, what interested you in taking over as conductor of the Eddie Band?
Well, I was supervisor of music here in the city, and came here in 1965, and of course had heard the band at Ojibwe Island, and so when the conductor at that time, Monty Schigel, resigned, well, I made application for it, and I've been very happy ever since. It's a real challenge, real pleasure, and a tremendous amount of enjoyment in conducting this band.
How do you feel you have changed the band?
Well, after the first year, when I directed the band in 1968, we had only 40 members, and so at the end of that season, I talked to the trustees, the foundation, and told them that I wanted to increase the membership in the band. I felt that that we didn't have some parts covered, like we didn't have oboes, bassoons, and we didn't have enough personnel in each section to have enough persons on each part, so that we would get a balanced sound. And so they asked me how many more people we would need, and I told them 20. So we increased the band then from 40 to 60. And, so that has been one change I found. And then, of course, the caliber of the personnel has changed over the years. Years that I have directed, in other words, we have tried to recruit the very best personnel. Not that they weren't already in the band, but we went out to various colleges and brought in some of the faculty personnel from the colleges, then brought in first 2 years we were on the band, and they had a tent show down at Kyle, that summer tent show. They had outstanding singers who were playing that tent show, so we would bring them up and have them sing on Sunday night, advertise the show, which was a very good thing, because they had top personnel in that tent show, so we wouldn't miss them. And, so we've continued in that format of trying to put the very best personnel available in the valley.
Under your direction, what type of music does the band play, and how do you go about choosing the music for each performance?
Well, it's kind of a musical smorgasbord. We try to play what the audience likes to hear, and that could be most anything from pop to rock or classical or romantic, whatever. It has to be appealing. It has to be something that can't be too life. So we try to play things that are not too long in length, that are appealing to the audience. I mean, it could be current tunes that they may hear on the radio or the television. And it could be some standard repertoire that the bands include. But it's mostly chosen on the basis of what people like to hear.
How extensive is the band's musical library, would you say?
Well, they have a very fine library that has been collected over the years, and it dates back to the very first director, Omsden, and the library is outstanding.
Does the band have their own, like, storage center, or is it stored at a place?
It's stored at the Civic Center, right. And we're in the process, maybe of changing that, because the access to it is not too good. It's down in the basement, underneath the auditorium stage, and it's hard to get to. And, it's damp down there, and it's not in the best of conditions, and so we're maybe going to change that at the end of this season.
Who does the arranging for the band?
Well, we have had various people over the years, and where we've been having special arrangements. There are people within the band, and then there's some outsiders that I've used that are no longer with the band now. But there's a lot of people on the band who have arranging ability and this kind of thing. So it's within the membership.
Could you take us through the whole process of putting on a concert from the very beginning? What happens, what do you do to prepare for concert until the actual concert?
Well, the format decided what we're going to play sometime in May. I didn't put things together, at least for the first three or four concerts. And then, of course, when the band manager gets to town, he has to music from the library and get it in all the folders, and then the band rehearses twice a week, and so during those two rehearsals we have to cover at least four concerts all the time, and we have 35, 40 tunes in the folders all the time, so that, that the band is reading ahead all the time. Just working on one particular program, and then selecting an MC who we have had maybe on the band before. Like the first concert, we've usually used the same one for the past 10 years, Bob Vedette, and then selecting a vocalist to sing with him, pairing them each time, each year, and putting on music that fits them, fits his particular voice. And then deciding on who the other soloists might be on the band. We usually feature an instrumentalist, and if we're going to use a dance ensemble or whatever kind of a special model we might use, like a Dixieland combo or clarinet polka or some special light pop kind of thing. And arranging the order of the program. The order, of course, is very important on the program, so that the audience doesn't become bored with what's happening, and it keeps the pace going, and the momentum, and so that you try to have an interesting order, so that you may not always play what some people like, but at least in the 10 or 12 tunes that you play, will strike their fancy or something.
How are the musicians hired or contracted?
Well, it's selection basis each year, depending on who has been in the band and their dependability and responsibility and musicianship. And of course, each year lights pits or this type of thing, they move away, and it means that we have to recruit new members. So I always contact the band directors in the college, just like Ken Bloomquist at Michigan State, or Jack Saunders, or Norm Beach down at Central Michigan, and Bob Reynolds down at the University of Michigan. And they recommend various students. And we've had some students from Saginaw Valley College, you know, through Charlie Brown. And so then, of course, they are sent an application form, and on the form, they describe their musical background, their training. And in some cases, I have had them come in and play an audition. And other times, they're selected on the basis of recommendation of people who are in the band. So it's a year-to-year basis. There's nobody that has a permanent contract.
Do you have union or non-union members, or is it mixed? Or?
It's mixed. We use some of both. Some of the young kids, of course, here are not in the union yet, but most of the local musicians that we use are members of the Saginaw local.
Is there any problem with union and using non-members?
No. In an organization like this, like the Saginaw Symphony, it's not a livelihood for a musician. It's a short-term activity, and there's no problem with the union.
How many people would you say, including musicians, sound people, stagehands, and so on, work with the band?
Well, we use between 65 and 70 in full season. There's that many on each concert, and of course, use 10 different MCs, and they use about 20 different solos.
Okay, how would you say the crowds have been in your years with the band? Is
well, the years that we were at the island, Ojibwe, we had the first 2 years there, 68, 69, 70. The first 3 or 4 years are very good, and we had some problem with the motorcycles. And the last 2 years that we were there at the island, the crowds began to fall off. I'm not sure what the reasons may have been, but very few picnickers come out to the island anymore. We used to get a lot of picnickers. We'd come for the Sunday evening picnic and stay for the concert. And the remaining years that we were there, that began to fall off also. But since we've been at the stadium out at Arthur Hill this year, it's just been really outstanding. We've had this tremendous crowd at Arthur Hill. They run 1,500, 2,000 people.
Well, so would you say the basic move from the island to Arthur Hill was to try and increase the crowds?
Well, not exactly. The basic reason was that they purchased this showmobile, the city parks did. And it's the type of structure that they were not able to leave out on the island without some sort of security. And then, of course, to set up the stage and this kind of thing took four men about 6 hours each to move and set that up. So when we moved it to the stadium, of course, they could just leave it set up. And so it was basically because of the portable showmobile. So what we, of course, are needing is a permanent structure, a permanent band shell. And I think that's in the offing. I think that's, of course, it's been in the hopper quite a while. Depending on what happens in the schools, I don't know if they could build a permanent shell at the end of one of the stadiums there or not. And that could be used for outdoor concerts and for graduation ceremonies. That might be some consideration you might think about.
What do you feel the requirements are for a conductor to run a band of such large size and so many demands?
Well, I think it takes a person with a good musical background, training, and of course, in the area of conducting and knowledge of course, all the instruments. And of course, it takes a person with public relations ability to sell the program, and it has to be one that that is able to get along with that many musicians, adult musicians, professional musicians, and to command their respect. And it's sort of a combination of several things. I mean, besides musician, a politician, a public relations man, and a person who is well organized, because there isn't too much rehearsal time allowed, and the concerts come every Sunday, and so there is a pressure involved. So it's one that you've got to be looking ahead all the time.
How do you see the future of the Eddie Band?
Well, I think that as long as the world reads like it does, to finish a permanent band, the city uniform band. And, so I think that part is very good. The the money is stable, and I think that the main thing is I think to provide something interesting that the people come out and hear. And I think that this year was probably a keynote, that we had tremendous crowds this year. And so I think the thing that we have to do is how to figure out to keep this momentum going. And so as I told the band the other night, looking ahead to next year, we want to try to bring in a headliner for each concert. Bring in 10 headliners. I think this will be a new and innovative idea, and I think this might be a proving ground what might be in store, because Saginaw simply doesn't have their summer concerts out to Delta anymore. And so I think that time is right here for us to develop some kind of an all-summer activity that could be tied up with the concert numbers. I mean, they have the Greek festival, and they have the ethnic festival today, and they could, horse racing is coming in here next year. So it could become a summer mecca here for tourists, I think. And it could be tied up from the opening Father's Day concert down to the third week in August. And there could be something going on every week in Saginaw, I think. It's a thing that, maybe various organizations could get this Can American Games that have come in and brought a lot of people to town. So I think that there's could be some kind of idea activity going on all the time. It could even be tied up with the real estate stores. I mean, retail stores. They could have various kinds of sales. Something to the effect buy to beat the band or something. And, so every week there could be something new and different in Saginaw, and, along with the Eddie Band concert. So I would say that it looks like a very healthy future.
I heard that about a year or two ago that there was a possibility the band might go to Japan. Is there any possibilities of the band traveling?
We had the invitation, since they had this sister city thing with Takashima, and of course it was a question of raising the money, which was always a problem. And I approached the various foundations and the city fathers and that type of thing. It was quite an outlay. So it could be something in the future, maybe. It costs a lot of money to go, but the invitation is still there. If we can ever come up with the money, we could make that trip. And it's not out of the realm of possibilities.
How would you say the Eddie Band compares with similar type bands in the United States today?
Well, I think that this type of organization is limited across the country. I don't think there are too many uniform bands that are on a paid basis. I mean, there are a lot of volunteer bands, and there are some here in the neighborhood. Midland has a volunteer band, and I think the only paid band, the only other paid band in the state, I think, is Leonard Smith in Detroit. And Leonard got some publicity this year, just recently, about having to cancel his concerts in Belle Isle because of noise and problems and this kind of thing. And, so I would say that caliber of people we have aboard our band now, we compare very favorably with other bands of this type across the country.
Okay, do you see, what effect would you say the band would have on the community? You already mentioned some things that it could bring in tourists. Do you think it offers any other kind of effects?
Well, I think that just the kind of thing that there needs to be an outlet for just enjoyment of the arts. I mean, people just need a place to go, to sit and relax and listen to music and this kind of thing. And I think it provides that kind of a release. I think this concert last Sunday or 2 weeks ago, when we had our biggest crowd, when Miss Michigan was there. It was a very peaceful atmosphere to look out there, to see a face of it, and people just relaxing on blankets and lawn chairs and sitting in the stadium, this kind of thing, and enjoying the band concert. So I think that it's good from the standpoint that they get away from their television set and their radio, and it's a family kind of thing. They take the kids and just go out and sit and enjoy an hour of music. I think that this is something that is a valuable asset in the community, I think.
Okay, you said that the musicians are hired on a yearly basis from year to year. Do you have many veterans that have been with the band over a number of years?
We have five people who have been on the band for many years. Dave Abadesian, the only charter member on the band, has been in the band 53 years. And then there are two men, Ken Matthews on clarinet and Lyman Wiesner on bass clarinet, who've been with the band 43 years, and Len Franke on cornet, 38 years, and Ed Slosinski on tenor sax, 23 years. So we have those five guys. We have quite a tenure on the band.
Well, that's about all the questions I have. Have I left out anything you'd like to add? Or?
Well, I don't think so, Rick. It's been a pleasure talking to you. I enjoyed it very much, and hope that it helps you out in your paper in your class.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, you're most welcome.